Questions and answers. Question 1. I have been reading the books you were kindly sent enough to send me and find some of your concepts regarding the baptism of Jesus interesting. Can you tell me what you teach about the relationship of our baptism to the baptism, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Answer. First of all, we should pay attention to the baptisms as written in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. According to the Bible, there are three different baptisms: the baptism of John the Baptist for repentance, the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist, and our water baptism as a ritual. The baptism that we receive is a confession of our faith in the baptism of Jesus. That is to say, we are baptized in order to confess our faith that we believe Jesus was baptized to take away all our sins and also died on the cross to atone for them. Now you can understand Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Here, "for thus" means that Jesus himself bore all the sins of the world by being baptized by John the Baptist, the representative of all humankind. It was the profound plan of God to save us from the inevitable trap of sin. The Lord God has laid on him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, and has granted us his righteousness. Righteousness here means dikaiosyne in Greek, which also signifies fairness and justice. It tells us that Jesus bore the iniquity of all humankind in the most fair and just way by being baptized in the form of the laying on of hands. We have been saved by our strong faith in the baptism, the death on the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus. The power of the spiritual circumcision, Romans chapter 2, verse 29, of his baptism, which cut off all our sins from our hearts, has washed away the sins in our hearts. Therefore, the Apostle Peter said to the people, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2, verse 38. All sinners should have their sins taken away in their hearts by believing in the name of Jesus. What's the meaning of his name? "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins," Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The name Jesus means the Savior, who saves his people from all their sins. How did he save us from all our sins? Jesus has saved us from all our sins through his baptism and death on the cross. When the apostles of Jesus Christ preached the gospel, they ensured a clear understanding of the baptism of Jesus and the cross, so they taught the true gospel and then baptized those who believed in it. Accordingly, we're baptized to confess outwardly that we believe in the baptism and the death of Jesus deep in our minds. When we're baptized, we confess, "Thank you, Lord. You bore all my sins through your baptism, died for me, and rose again to save me. I believe in your gospel. We are baptized in water by ministers as a symbol of our faith in Jesus' baptism and his death on the cross, just as he was baptized by John the Baptist. Thus, the saints in the early church were baptized as proof of their beliefs, after they confessed their faith in the gospel and were redeemed as their sins were taken away. The ritual of baptism is not a necessary condition to be saved. Even though it is very important to clarify our faith, our water baptisms have nothing to do with our salvations. We can only be saved by believing in the gospel of the water and the blood. The Bible states that we are baptized into Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, when we believe in his baptism. Then, how could we be baptized into his? It is possible only when we believe in his baptism, since the flesh, our old selves, could be united with Jesus and crucified with him only by our faith in his baptism. Consequently, since Jesus bore all our sins by his baptism, his death was the judgment for our iniquities. Therefore, we also died on the cross with him. In other words, our flesh, which cannot but commit sins until death, died to sin, and we have been saved from all our iniquities in union with Jesus through his baptism. Those who are united with Jesus through his baptism and death will also be united with his resurrection. His resurrection is not only our resurrection from our deaths to sin, but it also allows us to be born again as the children of God and the consecrated, who are pure and sinless in front of him. If we had not passed our sins on to him by distrusting his baptism, his death and resurrection might have been meaningless, having nothing to do with our salvation. Those who have passed all their sins on him with faith are united with his death on the cross, allowing them to be born again as the righteous. However, those who have not passed their sins on him by not believing in his baptism have no relationship with his death and resurrection whatsoever. The baptism of the believers is trustworthy, just as we can admit a husband and wife as a legal couple through a wedding ceremony. The baptism of the saints is an outward proclamation of such an inward belief. When we proclaim our belief in his baptism and the cross in front of God, saints, and the world, our belief becomes more immutable. Having misunderstood the true meaning of the baptism that Jesus received by John the Baptist, we should not believe that we could be saved while not believing in his baptism and its significance. It's simply a cunning trick of the devil. We can have our sins taken away and be welcomed to heaven by truly believing in the baptism of Jesus in our hearts instead of believing in our own baptisms. Question 2. How can I say I'm righteous when I am sinning every day? Answer. We, as human beings, commit sins from the very moment we're born until we die. As a matter of fact, this is due to our fundamental natures, that we are born with sin. So, the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans chapter 3, verse 10. That is why the Apostle Paul confessed in front of God that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 24. This righteousness of God means that John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan. Before he was baptized, he said to John, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. Jesus bore the sins of the world in the most just and fair way when John the Baptist, the representative of all humankind, baptized him. Thus, John exclaimed on the day after he baptized Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Then, what does the sin of the world here mean? It represents all the sins of all the human beings from Adam and Eve, the first human beings on the earth, to the last person who will live in this world. The past people belong to the world, the people of the present belong to the world, and those who will live in the future also belong to the world. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, had offered one sacrifice for the sins of all time, bearing all the sins of the world once and for all through his baptism in the Jordan and dying on the cross. And for thus we have been sanctified. The Bible clearly declares, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Note that this had been written in the past perfect tense. We have been sanctified absolutely and sinless, from the very moment we believed in God until now and always will be. For the Lord is Almighty God. He has a bird's eye view of the beginning and the end of the world. Although it was about 2,000 years ago when he was baptized, he took away all the sins that human beings commit from the beginning to the end of the world. Therefore, before he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." John chapter 19, verse 30. He took away through his baptism all the sins of the world about 2,000 years ago and died on the cross. We still sin, even after we're saved, because our flesh is weak. However, Jesus has redeemed us from all the sins of the past, present, and the future by bearing all the sins on his body through his baptism and being judged for them on the cross. This is the complete and righteous salvation of God. If Jesus hadn't taken away the sins that we will commit in the future, not a single human being could be redeemed from everyday sin, for the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. When Jacob and Esau were still in their mother's womb, God separated them into two nations even before they did anything good or bad, and loved Jacob but hated Esau, and said, "The older shall serve the younger." Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. This passage implies that the salvation of God has nothing to do with our own deeds, but is given to those who just believe in God's perfect salvation in his baptism and crucifixion. We human beings are destined for hell as sinful beings from the moment we are born until the moment we die. But God foresaw our sins at first sight and washed away all our sins once and for all by Jesus' baptism and the cross, because he loves us. We live in a blessed time. The prophet Isaiah said, "Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2. The time of our slavery to sin has ended through the gospel of Jesus' baptism and the cross. Therefore, anybody who believes in the gospel can be delivered from all their sins. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says the Lord. "I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 to 18. God does not judge us for our daily sins anymore, because he has already washed away all the sins of humankind and judged them through Jesus. As a result, we can wait for the coming Lord and follow his word as the righteous without sin, even though we still commit sins in our lives. Question 3. What is the baptism of repentance by John? Answer. John the Baptist was a servant of God who was born 6 months prior to Jesus and was foretold in Malachi would be the last prophet in the Old Testament. "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Malachi chapter 4 verses 4 to 6. Even when Jesus was born, the people of Israel abandoned the words of God's covenant and worshipped foreign gods. They offered the blind and blemished animals as sacrifices and made the temple of God a place of business. Jesus Christ, too, is foretold in the Law of Moses and the prophets. The law gives humanity the knowledge of sin, showing how they are sinful, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. It is a sin not to abide by even one commandment written in the books of the law. In the Old Testament, a sinner who disobeyed any of the articles of the law brought a sin offering in front of the tabernacle. He put his hands on the head of the sin offering to pass his sin onto it, and by killing the sin offering, one becomes reunited with God again as a person without sin. Then the priest took some of its blood and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and poured out all the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. However, the people of Israel couldn't be delivered from all their sins, regardless of their countless daily offerings. Therefore, God made a permanent statute for them, the Day of Atonement. At that time, God completely took away their sins for the year on the 10th day of the 7th month. On that day, Aaron, the high priest, took two goats and cast lots for them, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Then he laid his hands on the head of the goat for the Lord to lay all the yearly sins of the people of Israel onto it. Aaron then slew it and took its blood to sprinkle it 7 times on and in front of the mercy seat. When he finished atoning for the holy place, he offered the other animal. He laid his hands on the head of the live goat and confessed over it all the yearly sins of the Israelites. By this method, all their yearly sins were passed on to it, and it was sent away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The Israelites were redeemed from their yearly sins in this way. However, the sacrifice offered according to the law of the Old Testament could not make those who offered sacrifices continually, year by year, perfect. It was merely a shadow of the good things, the righteous acts of Messiah, to come, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. People of Israel did not wait for Jesus Christ, the Savior. Instead, they worshipped the foreign gods of the sinful world, abandoning the words of the prophets in the Old Testament. Thus, God foretold that he would send John the Baptist in order to restore the hearts of the Israelites, to return them to him, and to prepare their hearts to receive Jesus Christ. Before John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he gave the baptism of repentance to the people of Israel in the wilderness of Judea. His purpose of baptizing them with water was to lead them to wait for and believe in Jesus. He taught that the Savior would be baptized by him in the way of the laying on of hands to take away all the sins of the world, and then crucified to save them from all their sins. He said that Jesus would come and take away the incomplete sacrifices of the past and offer the eternal sacrifice with his body. He would take all our sins through the baptism, just as the people of Israel were redeemed by bringing a sin offering without blemish, laying their hands on it and slaying it according to the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. Many Israelites confessed their sins, repented, and were baptized by him. Repentance means to return one's mind to the Lord. Remembering the law of the Old Testament, they came to John and confessed that they were hopeless sinners who could not but commit sins until they died. They also confessed that they could not enter the kingdom of heaven with their good deeds according to the law, and returned their minds to Jesus Christ, who would blot out all their sins once and for all, opening the gate to the kingdom of heaven. The baptism that John the Baptist gave to the people of Israel was the following. He let them confess how much they sinned in their lives, repented, and looked to Jesus Christ, who saved them from all their sins. This is a true biblical repentance. Therefore, John exclaimed to the people, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist turned people's minds to Jesus, testified to them that Jesus would take away all the sins of the world, John chapter 1, verse 29, and die for them vicariously. Thus, Jesus himself bore witness that John came to show us the way of righteousness, Matthew chapter 21, verse 32. Question 4. Don't you think that understanding the baptism of Jesus as the must for salvation would nullify his death on the cross in the gospel? Answer. The baptism of Jesus and his death on the cross are equally essential to our salvation. We cannot say that either one is more important than the other. However, the problem is that most Christians nowadays only know the blood of Jesus on the cross. They believe that they have been forgiven because he died on the cross. But it is not only the cross with which Jesus took away the sins of the world. Since he was baptized by John the Baptist and bore all the sins of the world on his back, his death on the cross could practically be the judgment for all our sins. Believing only in the cross without the baptism of Jesus is just like offering a sacrifice to the Lord without laying one's hands on it. Those who offered such offerings couldn't be redeemed for their sins because that kind of sacrifice was a lawless offering, which the Lord God couldn't accept. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, "If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, oxen, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him." Leviticus chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. The Lord is just and lawful. He has established the fair and just sacrificial system in order to wash away our sins. When we offer a lawful sacrifice, the sacrifice is accepted by the Lord to make atonement for us. Without the laying on of hands, no sacrifice can be acceptable to God. Likewise, if we omit the baptism of Jesus from our faith in him, we cannot have our sins taken away with that kind of faith. One of the most common fallacies that today's Christians believe in is that they think they can be saved by merely confessing Jesus to be their Savior because the Lord is love. The Bible, of course, says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts chapter 2, verse 21, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Whereas it also tells us that, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. In order to confess that Jesus is the Savior, we should know the law of salvation that God has established. If we can be saved simply by believing in the name of Jesus, there would be no reason whatsoever for the scriptures to be written about the sacrificial system of the Old Testament and about those who practice lawlessness in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. However, the amazing and perfect way of the Lord's salvation is clearly recorded in the Bible. Indeed, we can clearly see from Leviticus chapters 3 and 4 that a sinner had to lay his hands on the head of the sacrifice to pass his sins onto its head, and then killed and sprinkled its blood when he offered sin and peace offerings, offering a sacrifice without the laying on of hands, or offering a sacrifice with blemish is too lawless to make atonement. Both the words of the Old and New Testaments have their corresponding equivalents to each other. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. The baptism of Jesus in the Jordan is equal to the sinner's laying hands on the head of the sin offering in the Old Testament. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan, he said, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. Here, all righteousness means justice and fairness. This means that it is fitting for Jesus to become the sin offering for mankind through that method. It was also fitting for him to be baptized by John the Baptist in the form of the laying on of hands to take away all the sins of the world. This was done in the fairest way, according to the sacrificial system composed of the laying on of hands and blood, which God established in the Old Testament. Believing only in the cross means consequently that his death had nothing to do with our sins, because our sins could have never been passed on to him without the baptism of Jesus. It results in regarding his blood as incapable of washing away sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Therefore, his blood would actually be effective in washing away the sins in the hearts of believers only if they believe that all their sins were laid on him when John the Baptist baptized him through the laying of his hands. Thus, the Apostle John testified that one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who came by water and blood, overcomes the world. Jesus came by water and blood, not only by water. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4-6. Jesus Christ explained to his disciples the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he showed that the sin offering in the Old Testament was himself. David said in Psalms instead of him, "Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." Psalms chapter 40 verses 7-8 and Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. As a result, his baptism does not nullify the cross, but is actually the essential part of the Lord's gospel that completes and fulfills the meaning of the cross. It also teaches us that we cannot have redemption unless there is the baptism and precious blood of Jesus Christ. What I mean by being saved is that you have your sins taken away by believing in the baptism of Jesus and his blood on the cross, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 8, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Question 5. Could you give me an explanation of the gospel of the water and the Spirit? Answer. If we had lost a needle somewhere outside, we would probably be looking for it in the area where we lost it. However, it sounds absolutely absurd to try to find it inside the house simply because it is brighter inside. I find some absurd people like that in today's churches. While they're easily involved in the midst of endless biblical controversies about the water baptism of believers, they never ask themselves this important question: why was Jesus baptized by John the Baptist? Due to such a tendency, there happens to be a lot of denominations and sects in today's Christian community. In order to put an end to these incessant controversies, we should get ourselves out of the chaotic village and get back to the place where we lost our needle. If we sincerely want to find the truth, we should get rid of the stereotype, for we cannot find it in a village of religion. Why did the apostles put so much emphasis on the baptism of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible tells us that Jesus came by water and blood in order to save us from all our sins. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. The meaning of blood is his death on the cross. Then, what do you mean by water? Why did John the Baptist baptize Jesus? Why did he proclaim, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness"? Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, just before his baptism, I sincerely hope you understand and believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, especially in the baptism of Jesus. Here are some brief explanations on the gospel of the water and the Spirit that he gave to his disciples. The apostles put the greatest emphasis on the baptism of Jesus when they preached the gospel. The apostle Paul said, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 4. What does it mean? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It means that his death atoned for all our sins according to the God-given method in the Old Testament. He died for us according to the revelation and covenant in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 states, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come." Let us look at the typical sacrifice in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. A sinner should satisfy three conditions of the burnt offering for the atonement of his sins. First, he brought an offering without blemish, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3. Second, he had to put his hands on the head of the offering, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4. Here, we should make clear the law of God. Laying hands on the head of the offering was God's law to pass his sins onto it. Third, he had to kill it to atone for his sin, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 5. On the Day of Atonement, Aaron laid both his hands on the head of a live goat, confessed over it all the iniquities and transgressions of the children of Israel concerning all their sins, and put them on the head of the goat, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 21. At that time, Aaron was the representative of Israel. He alone put his hands on the head of the goat, but all the yearly sins of the people of Israel, about 2 to 3 million, were passed on to it. The sacrifice of the Old Testament is a shadow of the good things to come. Jesus offered himself by the will of God in order to sanctify us according to the Scriptures. First of all, Jesus came in the flesh of a man to be the Lamb of God without blemish. He is the only begotten Son of God and the express image of his person, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Thus, he is fitting as the sin offering for all mankind. Second, John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan. Baptism is given in the form of laying on of hands, and John the Baptist is a descendant of Aaron and the representative of all mankind. When John put his hands on the head of Jesus Christ, all the sins of the world were passed on to him according to the law God had established. Jesus said to John, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness," and then John baptized him. All our sins had finally passed on to him. The very next day, John exclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Third, Jesus died on the cross to blot out all our sins, saying, "It is finished." John chapter 19, verse 30. He rose again from the dead in order to make us righteous in front of God. Remember that a sin offering was offered to take away sins. A sinner had to put his hands on its head before he killed it. if he forgot even one. In other words, if he omitted putting his hands on the head of the offering, he could not be redeemed due to his having practiced lawlessness. If a Christian doesn't have any idea what his baptism means, such a person must have had sins in their heart and cannot be saved simply by their own faith. Most Christians know only half of his righteous act. The Apostle John makes clear the gospel in his first epistle. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. There are a lot of passages in the Bible that support how essential his baptism is to complete his righteous act for our salvation. All Christians should return to the gospel of water and the Spirit. Question 6. What scriptures provide evidence that the apostles laid great emphasis on the baptism of Jesus? Answer. Most of all, we should discern the meaning of our baptism from that of the baptism of Jesus. We cannot be born again merely by receiving water baptism. We can be born again only by believing in Jesus Christ. Rituals such as baptism or circumcision are not indispensable conditions for the salvation of God. The Bible does not define the water baptism of believers as a must for their salvation. Rather, it puts great emphasis on the baptism that Jesus received from John the Baptist. In fact, lots of Bible passages support that the baptism of Jesus is indispensable and essential for our salvation. First of all, his baptism is proclaimed as the prologue to his whole righteous act in each of the four Gospels. For example, the Gospel according to Mark begins with the Gospel of Jesus Christ, exactly from the baptism of Jesus. And the Gospel according to John wrote the Gospel in date sequence, using terminologies such as the next day, John chapter 1, verse 29. And the third day, John chapter 2, verse 1, starting from the day Jesus was baptized. John the Baptist declared the word of God on the very next day of Jesus' baptism, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. This passage means that all the sins of the world were passed on to Jesus when John the Baptist baptized him. And then he died on the cross for the atonement of our sins, saying, "It is finished," John chapter 19, verse 30, and rose again from the dead on the third day. The Apostle Paul also said, "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures," 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. The Scriptures here refers to the Old Testament. How did sinners offer sacrifices to take away sin in the Old Testament? He had to put his hands on the head of the sin offering before slaying it. If he had omitted the process of laying his hands on the head of the sin offering, he would not have been able to atone for the sin because it is an illegal sacrifice. The Apostle Paul said, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Then how can it be possible that we are baptized into Jesus? To be baptized into Christ Jesus is to believe in his baptism at the Jordan, not just our own water baptisms. When we believe in the fact that John the Baptist passed all our sins on to him by laying his hands on Jesus' head, we can be baptized into him. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ," Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Those who passed all their sins on to Jesus through John the Baptist by faith have become God's sinless children. "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ." Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. The Apostle Paul said that the way of being delivered from sin by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh is to be spiritually circumcised without hands. Romans chapter 2, verse 29 states, "Circumcision is that of the heart." That is, to believe in the baptism of Jesus, which cuts off the sins in our hearts. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Baptism is an antitype that saves us. As we already know, people perished in the days of Noah for not believing in the water. Even today, there are still disobedient people who would perish even though they might believe in Jesus, because they don't believe in Jesus' baptism, which is the water. The Apostle John revealed everything about the gospel in his first epistle, writing, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood." 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. Jesus came to us both by his baptism and the cross to save us from all our sins. John also said, "For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and the three agree in one." 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. This tells us that the baptism of Jesus, the cross, and the Spirit all together compose one perfect salvation. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." John chapter 3, verse 5. We are born again of the water and the Spirit. The belief in his baptism of the water and the cross is all you need in order to be redeemed and receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. This is what the Bible says about being born again. Thus, the Apostle Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2, verse 38. In order to have all your sins taken away and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you should have immutable faith in the baptism of Jesus with all your heart. What else can we possibly say? Don't deny the truth that so many passages support his baptism as an indispensable deed of his righteousness for our salvation. Christianity must return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Wherefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, let us press on unto perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the teaching of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1-2. Here, we can get a clue to finding the original gospel of the early church. They taught the baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment to those who just became Christians. We all should believe in our minds that Jesus took away all our sins through his baptism and died on the cross in order to be judged for our sins according to the righteous law of God. Question 7. This is something I have already believed and taught, unless you're specifically emphasizing the often ignored baptism of Jesus. If so, then what exactly is different about the gospel of the water and the Spirit? Answer: being saved means to have all sins washed away. It also means to be born again. When a sinner becomes a righteous person by believing in the gospel of life, we say, "They are born again of the water and the Spirit through Jesus' salvation." The Holy Spirit comes upon those who have been redeemed and born again, and testifies that they are God's children. Therefore, it is all the same after all. Having sins taken away, receiving the Holy Spirit, being redeemed, being born again, becoming a child of God, and becoming a righteous person. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John chapter 14, verse 6, which implies that only through Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, can we enter the kingdom of God. Hence, we have to know how Jesus washed away all our sins and counted us as his people, who deserve to enter his kingdom. Nonetheless, most Christians still think that merely calling his name can save them. They believe in Jesus without ever opening the Bible, without knowing what he has done to save us from all our sins. God is the Spirit and the Holy One with whom there is no variation or shifting, but we live sinful lives. Entering the kingdom of the Lord is possible only through Jesus, and we can believe in him through the faith in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. A lot of people do not even know what Jesus did for salvation. Rather, they blindly believe in him in vain, saying, "Lord, Lord." They also think they're saved, but they still have sins in their hearts. If you still have sin in your heart in spite of your faith in Jesus, from what have you been saved then? If someone asks, "How did Jesus wash away our sins?" the bulk of people reply, "He probably washed them away on the cross." Then, for another question, "Do you have sin in your heart?" They say, "Certainly." Who can be absolutely free from sin on this earth? The name of Jesus means he will save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. We believe in Jesus in order to be saved from sin. However, if we still have sin in our hearts, although we believe in Jesus, we are still sinners sold into bondage to sin and will be judged accordingly. The Apostle Paul said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It is thus certain that someone who still has sin in their heart is not yet one with Christ Jesus. Why do they remain as a sinner who is not redeemed and fallen away from salvation, even though they still believe in Jesus? It is because they believe only in the blood of the cross, without laying their sins on him by the baptism of Jesus. Therefore, they still have sin in their hearts, whereas Jesus died on the cross, regardless of their sins. There is a significant difference for Christians who believe in the baptism of Jesus and those who don't believe in it. Some have redemption and become righteous by having faith in the baptism of Jesus, while the others still remain as sinners without faith in it. The Holy Spirit does not come upon a sinner. He only comes upon the righteous who have been born again by the water and the Spirit. Thus the Apostle Paul said, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Many people believe that Jesus took away our sins on the cross, but we can never confess that we have sinless hearts if we don't believe in the baptism of Jesus. If we do, we're guilty of telling a lie to God, which goes against our own consciences. We surely still have sin in our hearts if we haven't passed all our sins on to Jesus without believing in his baptism. Those who don't believe the gospel of the baptism of Jesus and the cross are prone to fall into legalism and be grave sinners. Therefore, no matter what they do, like praying in the deep mountains or praying earnestly for forgiveness during prayer meetings, they still find sins left in their hearts. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 to 23. Who does "who practice lawlessness" refer to? It refers to those who haven't received the perfect redemption in their hearts for having believed only in the cross. That's an arbitrary faith, not from God. We're practicing lawlessness if we don't believe in the fact that Jesus has saved us through His baptism and the cross. We cannot say we have the right faith before we know and believe in both the baptism of Jesus and the cross. Jesus said that if people want to be born again, it is possible only through the water and the Spirit. Just as people could have only been delivered from the waters of the flood if they had been in Noah's ark, you can receive the remission of all your sins and live a true, faithful life only if you believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Without the gospel of the water and the Spirit, you can neither have your sins taken away nor become God's children. Question 8. I was sure that believing in Jesus had saved me. I had been at peace with the convictions in my heart, but now I am confused by your messages. Should I believe in His baptism along with His cross to be saved? Answer. If you don't believe in Jesus' baptism, it is for sure that you have sin in your heart. The Apostle John said, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. If you say that you have no sin, even though you actually have sin because you don't believe in the baptism of Jesus, it is an act of deceiving your own conscience and is evidence that the truth is not in you. The conviction of salvation emerges in our hearts when we have our sins taken away and receive the Holy Spirit as a gift by believing both in Jesus' baptism and the cross. The Apostle Paul said, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 to 7. Nothing but the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which the apostles received from Jesus and preached to people, can save us from all our sins. If we don't believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit that the apostles preached, we certainly still have sin in us. How could we live with the conviction of salvation when we still have sin in us? When Christians, who are not yet born again, behave well in front of God, they're sure of their salvations in full joy and conviction. However, they lack conviction and are afraid because of the burden of sin in their hearts when they commit some serious sins. It is a pseudo-salvation based on their own thoughts and emotions, not from God. They are prone to offer prayers of repentance every day, to become gradually sanctified, and to maintain their easily shaken salvations. Those who believe in this false salvation think that they'll at last be perfectly saved someday, if they maintain holy lives, asking God for forgiveness every day, and keeping the law by deeds. Nevertheless, they're still sinners if they haven't laid their sins on Jesus through the faith in His baptism. The salvation that God has made is a perfect salvation, which tells us that Jesus took away all the sins of the world through His baptism by John in the Jordan and blotted them out on the cross. Thus, the Apostle John said, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If all our sins had not been washed away through the gospel of the water and the Spirit for not knowing it, we have to confess in front of the Lord that we're still sinners and are destined to go to hell for our sins. This is a true confession of sin. Sin cannot be washed away without the gospel of the water and the Spirit, no matter how slight the sin is. When we confess in this manner, the gospel of the water and the Spirit washes away all our sins once for all and makes us righteous. Now is the accepted time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Anyone who hears and believes in the gospel of Jesus' baptism and the cross is saved from all their sins, becomes righteous, and has a strong faith that they are always ready to enter the kingdom of heaven whenever the Lord may come. Any faith in doctrines and theologies other than the true gospel cannot save us from all our sins. Those are simply cunning tricks that the devil has put into the thoughts of human beings. We should get back to the gospel of the water and the Spirit and receive the true salvation from sins in our hearts. This is to love Him and His work. Question 9. How can you explain the salvation of the thief on the cross? Answer. At that time, all Jews were waiting for the prophesied Messiah. Therefore, they knew well about the law and the sacrificial system, which God had given through Moses, more than any other people. They believed that the Messiah would come according to the atoning law of God and would free them from all their sins. However, they did not believe that the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist was from God and was supposed to put all the sins of the world onto Jesus, Mark chapter 11 verses 27 to 33, but rather they considered him as a man who led the people astray and thus crucified him. Since Romans were protected from being scourged or crucified according to Roman law, Acts chapter 22 verses 25 to 29, chapter 23 verse 27, we see that the thieves on the cross were not Romans, but Jews. We also see that the thief was a Jew who feared God from his words, saying, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Luke chapter 23 verse 42. The Jewish thief already knew the law and the sacrificial system which God gave to Moses. So he believed that the Messiah would come according to the atoning law of God. Those who come to God must confess that they are sinners, destined to go to hell for their sins. The thief confessed his sins, saying, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." Luke chapter 23 verse 41. We can also see that the thief feared God, and his hope was to enter the kingdom of heaven from his words, saying, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Luke chapter 23 verse 42. The thief said, "But this man has done nothing wrong." Luke chapter 23 verse 41. What did the thief know about what Jesus did? He believed that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary, was baptized by John the Baptist, the representative of all mankind, took away all the sins of the world, and was crucified. He was a Jew who believed in what Jesus did for all the people, including him. Those who confessed their sins through the baptism of John acknowledged God's righteousness when they heard all their sins would be passed on to Jesus through his baptism. However, those who didn't receive John's baptism of repentance rejected the will of God because they didn't believe in Jesus' baptism either. Luke chapter 7, verses 28 to 30. On the contrary, the thief who was saved confessed that everything Jesus did was correct and righteous, while the other Jews did not. He may have been one of the Jews who had heard all those things which have been fulfilled among us, Luke chapter 1 verse 1, he could at last say that Jesus was righteous and the prophesied Messiah because he finally came to believe on the cross that Jesus had taken away all his sins through his baptism. Accordingly, he was saved. He was also saved by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Because God is just, he justifies those who believe in the baptism of Jesus and the cross according to his law of the Spirit of life. Question 10. Since God is gracious and compassionate, wouldn't he consider us righteous, although we have sin in our hearts if we just believe in Jesus? Answer. God is love and also just. Hence, he judges sin uprightly no matter what. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. This means that a sinner is destined to hell after being judged. He separates the righteous from sinners, just as he did the light from the darkness. God recognizes as righteous those without sin who believe that Jesus washed away all sins through baptism and death on the cross. However, those who still have sin in them, for not believing in the baptism of Jesus, are sinners in the presence of God. They are the ones who don't believe in the water, in other words, the baptism of Jesus, just as the people of the days of Noah didn't. If God considers sinners who still have sin in them righteous and sinless, then he must be lying and therefore cannot judge or reign all his creations. He said, "I will not justify the wicked." Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. The wicked are those who follow and depend more on the tradition of people, setting aside the gospel of the water and the Spirit, with which God has redeemed us from all our sins in the most just and fair way. Jesus said, "Of sin, because they do not believe in me." John chapter 16, verse 9. The only sin left on earth now is to not believe in the fact that Jesus has taken away all our sins through his baptism and the cross and has become our Savior. This is a sin against the Holy Spirit that can never receive atonement. There is no other way at all for those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit to be saved because they don't believe that Jesus washed away all their sins. The Apostle John said, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him." 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. It is committing lawlessness not to believe in the fact that Jesus has taken away all our sins through his baptism and the cross. He shall reject those who commit such lawlessness on the last day. Those who abide in him have no sin and are united with Jesus by being baptized into him. Those who have laid all the sins of their whole lives onto him through their faith in his baptism have no sin, even though they still sin, because of the weaknesses of the flesh. God declares those who have laid their sins on Jesus and have become sanctified by the law of the Spirit of life to be righteous. He gives them the Holy Spirit as a gift. The Holy Spirit never comes upon those who have sin in their hearts. David said in his psalm, "You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you." Psalm chapter 5, verse 4. The Holy Spirit of God never dwells in the hearts of those who have sin in them. Even a sinner who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them may say that they have been saved from sin according to doctrines and their own thoughts. However, one can never say that one has no sin in their heart and is righteous with faith because their conscience smites them. Therefore, such a person says that they are a sinner in the sight of other people, but actually thinks that they are a righteous person in the sight of God. However, God never considers a sinner righteous. A sinner is the subject of his judgment, and the sinner must believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit to be saved. Question 11. If we say that Jesus has already eliminated all our sins of the past, the present, and the future, according to your assertion, how would the future of a person turn out if he continuously committed sin by thinking about the fact that he has already had his sins pardoned by believing in Jesus' baptism and the cross? Even if this person kills another person, he will think that he has been atoned for even this kind of sin through Jesus. Therefore, he will continue to sin without any hesitation, just by believing that Jesus has already eliminated even the sins he will commit in the future. Please explain to me about these things. Answer. First of all, I thank you for raising questions about the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The questions you have asked are the ones that many Christians have asked before they are born again. I know that you are worrying that the born again would continuously commit sin, being relieved by the perfect gospel. However, I want to tell you that people who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit are not prone to living the life you are worrying about, but rather lead a righteous life instead. You should first think about this. If the Holy Spirit is truly within you, then you will bear holy fruits even if you don't wish to do so. On the other hand, if the Holy Spirit does not dwell within you, you will not be able to produce any of the fruits of the Spirit, no matter how hard you try. How can a person possibly bear the fruits of the Spirit if they do not have the Holy Spirit in their heart, even if they believe in Jesus somehow? This is impossible. The Lord said that a bad tree could never bear good fruits. Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 to 18. I now want to ask you this question, and also give an answer to it. You do believe in Jesus, but are you truly leading your life while having triumphed over worldly sins? Are you living as a righteous servant of God, overcoming worldly sins, serving the Lord more, and letting others be saved from all their sins by delivering the gospel of the water and the Spirit to them? Have you truly become a righteous person who does not possess even the slightest amount of sin after having believed in Jesus? The only faith and gospel that lets you answer yes to these questions is the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which the Lord has borne witness to in the Old and New Testaments. We continue to sin in the world even after we believe in Jesus. However, our Lord was baptized by John and shed his blood on the cross to save us from all the sins of the world. Therefore, the Lord has done a righteous deed for us, and we have been saved from our sins through faith in God's righteousness, the Lord's baptism and blood by which he has eliminated our sins. I want to ask you some questions again. Are you free from the sins of your conscience? Were you not a sinner even after you believed in Jesus, just like you were before you believed in him? If this is true, it is probably because you did not know about the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Therefore, you have fallen into the problems and distractions inherent in the flesh because you don't possess the Spirit in your heart. No matter how faithful of a believer you may be, you can only escape the thoughts of the flesh by emptying your heart and taking in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. You should discard your carnal thoughts and return to the written Word of God in order to understand the fact that the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the truth. There are many people in this world who change the law of salvation that the Lord has established in any way they wish, even though they confess to the Lord with their lips. If you are one of these kinds of people, the Lord will abandon you on the last day. I hope that this will not happen to anyone in this world. I pray that you are not a person who believes that Jesus' blood on the cross is the only thing that can save you, and that you have asked questions out of the desire to live the remaining time of your life apart from sin. However, your thoughts are thoughts of the flesh that are not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Paul says, "Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Romans chapter 8, verse 8. If you truly wish to have the faith that pleases God, you should believe in the remarkable work of the Lord. He came to this world through the Virgin Mary, took over the sins of humankind through the baptism Jesus received by John the Baptist at the Jordan River, and thereby fulfilling all the righteousness of God. Who do you think can carry out God's righteous work, a righteous person or a sinner? A sinner is still in the midst of sin because they have not had their sins taken away before God. Therefore, the only thing awaiting such a person is the judgment for their sins. God cannot let sinners enter His kingdom because, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness." Psalm chapter 5, verse 4. God said that if a sinner came out to Him and asked something from Him, He would not listen to the prayers of the sinner because their iniquities have separated you from your God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. A sinner will definitely fall into hell since the wages of sin is death. Only righteous people who have become holy and therefore possess no sin in their hearts can do righteous works. In addition, the Holy Spirit dwells inside the hearts of the righteous, who possess no sin after believing in Jesus' baptism and the cross. The Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2, verse 38. What this passage is saying is that if you want to have true faith and have all your sins washed away by faith, then you should believe both in Jesus' baptism and His death on the cross. Such faith can let you be baptized in the name of Jesus. That is to say, you can have your sins taken away by having faith in His righteous deeds. Of course, the disciples of Jesus also ministered the ritual of baptism to the born-again believers who had faith in His baptism and the cross. Jesus commanded His disciples to baptize everyone in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul said, "Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." Romans chapter 8, verse 9. God gives the Holy Spirit to the righteous in order to seal them as His children. The Holy Spirit can never dwell inside sinners because they possess sin. The Holy Spirit does not like sin. Instead, it prefers holiness, becoming apart from sin. The Spirit also guides righteous people along the righteous way and leads them to follow the will of the Father. Then, what is this will of the Father? It is to spread the gospel of the water and the Spirit to the people of every nation and to make them sinless children of God. The flesh of the righteous and sinners commit sin until they die. However, the Lord has done the righteous deed of eliminating all the sins people commit with their flesh and hearts by His baptism and blood. This is the righteousness of God that Jesus has fulfilled. Therefore, it is written in the Bible, "For in it, the true gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Romans chapter 1, verse 17. A person who has had their sins taken away by believing in God's righteousness will win over the law of sin and death and follow His righteousness instead. This is only possible through the Holy Spirit, who comes on and dwells in those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. All the sins of the past, the present, and the future of a righteous person have been passed over to Jesus at the time he was baptized by John the Baptist. The flesh of the righteous has also died together with Jesus. When a person believes in this, they become united with Jesus in his death. This becomes the judgment for all their sins, Romans chapter 6. Therefore, even though the flesh of a righteous person also commits sins continuously throughout their life, the Holy Spirit dwelling in their heart guides them so that they can follow the Spirit. A righteous person follows the Holy Spirit and does God's work because the Holy Spirit dwells within them. Even at the time of the apostles, many people used to unreasonably blame the born-again because they had the cheek to worry over the lives of the born-again people who were ruled by the Holy Spirit. However, these kinds of people misunderstood the true gospel of the water and the Spirit the apostles preached as the instinctive thoughts of the flesh. Therefore, the apostle Paul said to these people, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. He added, "I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Romans chapter 7, verse 25. In conclusion, the flesh of the righteous is still insufficient and has no other choice but to continuously sin, but they still follow the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel to the whole world. The righteous walk in the Spirit because their hearts rest under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? Romans chapter 6, verses 15 to 16. Just like real flowers are far different from artificial flowers, the master inside the heart of a righteous person and a sinner are different from each other. Since the master inside the heart of a righteous person is the Holy Spirit, the person is able to walk in the Spirit and follow the righteous truth in their life, which pleases God. On the other hand, a sinner has no other choice but to follow sin because the master inside them is sin itself. A sinner is unable to lead a holy life because they do not possess the Spirit due to their many iniquities. The assumption that believers in the gospel of the water and the Spirit are not able to lead holy lives is just a fallacy arising from the instinctive thoughts of the flesh. God warns them, saying, "But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves." Jude chapter 1, verse 10. Many people nowadays do not understand the lives of the righteous, even though they acknowledge the gospel of the water and the Spirit as the true gospel, because they don't fully know it and haven't received it in their hearts. What do you think about the righteous works of the born-again saints? They have offered all their precious things, even themselves as living sacrifices, for the good works of spreading the gospel to the whole world. According to your own thoughts, why do you think that the believers in the gospel of the water and the Spirit would purposely commit a sin on the pretext of the gospel? The righteous do good works by faith in the midst of the light of truth and God's righteousness. Those who practice the righteousness of God have been born of God. We just hope that all sinners will return to the gospel in which Jesus has washed away all their sins by his baptism and blood. Yes, our earnest wish is that you will have your sins washed away by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit truly with your hearts, and wait for the Lord until the last day without sin.